Today, November the 7th, first Sunday in November. It's a little chilly. It was 32 degrees at my house this morning, and Precious was cold, and I was colder, so we rushed her up. But I appreciate you being here on this first Sunday. I hope you got your extra hour sleep last night, and we're going to be looking at our second lesson today in the book of Ephesians. Our second lesson in the book of Ephesians, entitled today, Guaranteed Inheritance. Guaranteed Inheritance. We're in this new series of lessons entitled Identity, Life in Christ, all from the book of Ephesians, there in the New Testament. And I hope these lessons will be a help and a strength to you. Boy, I was studying this lesson this week, and I was just having myself a time just getting ready for class. I thought, my soul, this is going to be a good lesson today. And I hope that you'll enjoy them and you'll encourage other folks. They can listen through our website. You can go to opendoorchurch.org. That's our church website. And at the top of the page, if you click on the ministries button, scroll down to where it says Sunday School. And then when you go to that page, click on Conqueror's Class. And all of these lessons we've been doing since COVID struck, we've been doing an audio series of these lessons, and they are all there on the website. And you can listen to them there. If you do not have the internet, we've got you fixed too. I've still got the phone line. We got a phone line set up for our Sunday school class. It is 443-241-6746. And you can go on the website there on the Sunday school page, and it's there. But you can call that number, and I give a little introduction there about what the line is about. You can press option 1 and hear the current lesson, or option 2 and listen to the previous week's lesson. All right, and I'm rotating them every week. So if you've got internet or not, you can still be able to listen to the lessons. All right, and after Sunday school, we'll have the whatever lesson copies we have left over. We'll have them outside here beside the prayer list, and you can pick up one there, give it to somebody. Maybe it'll be a strength and encouragement to them. But today, for Sunday, November the 7th, we are looking at lesson number 2 in this series from the book of Ephesians, and it's entitled Guaranteed Inheritance. Now, our theme verses are found in verses 13 and 14 of this first chapter. And here's what the Bible said. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Now, boy, that's a mouthful. If you read, I was studying on this last week, and I read one commentator, and he said that in the original languages, from verse 1 all the way down to verse 14, is one continual sentence. My wife fusses me all the time about these run-on sentences I have in lessons and things like that. I say, I'm just trying to be like the Apostle Paul, amen? They just continue on. But you know what? It's broken down in the verses here that we can understand it and we can explain it better that way. And I want to ask you this question today. How sure is your inheritance today? How sure is your inheritance today? God, when He saved us, we were made to be children of the King. I love that song. I was thinking about that song this week as I studied this lesson. I said, man, that's got to be our song for this Sunday. I'm a child of the King. And you know what? I have a sure inheritance with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know what? I'm not going to have a whole lot to leave my family when I'm dead and gone. I'm praying that God will let me live, and He's going to let me live until the Lord Jesus comes back again. We'll all go up together. And then the Antichrist can have my house and all the bills with it and everything else, all right? He can take it, he can split wood, amen? He's going to be hot enough one of these days, that's for sure. But until that day, you know what? I don't have a whole lot of inheritance to give to my children. But you know what I can do? I can leave them a legacy. And I can leave them the word of truth. And I've tried my very best to love them and teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And to let them know, listen, you've got something that goes far beyond anything that I could ever leave you. You've got an inheritance in heaven because you know Christ as your Savior. I appreciate Miss Debbie back here. She's sitting here in the pink shirt, pink sweater. She'd been coming into Sunday school class. Didn't even know we had Sunday school classes. She'd been coming ever since. She found out. And she asked me to come by and visit with her and her mom. And I was able to go by this Thursday night. Brother Earl Flick and I went out to go visit. And we went to her house. And they said, no, she's up at her mom's house. So we walked up the street and got to her mom's house. And was able to sit down with her and her mom. And her mom's 82, I believe, right? 82 years old. And was able to present the message of the gospel to her mother Thursday night, and her mom trusted Christ as her Savior Thursday night. Man, they were excited about that. And we were just rejoicing in the fact, 82 years old, but now she's a newborn babe in the eyes of Jesus. Amen. And you know what? That makes it all worthwhile. And I thought as we looked at this second lesson today, we're going to see from the Word of God how the Apostle Paul, he taught these believers there in the city of Ephesus. He taught them that no matter who they were, no matter whether they were Jew or Gentile, rich or poor, you know, politically famous or just a nobody living in the corner of the city somewhere, if they knew Christ as their Savior, whether they were bond or free, each of them had been loved and redeemed by the same precious blood that saved you and I today. Every one of them had been born again through the precious blood. And you know, it's a blessing to know that we have fellowship one with another through the blood of Jesus Christ. I was texting back and forth with Pastor Malad this past week. You know, he's there in Lebanon, Beirut. And I was texting him, and he was asking us to be sure to pray for them there. They're going through some troublesome times over there right now. And especially as born-again children of God, in a Muslim country like that, they're having a tough time with things right now. But we were texting back and forth. And you know why we can do that? I mean, he's on the other side of the world. He's 7, probably 8 hours ahead of us now with a time change here in America. And we can have that fellowship all because of Jesus. Amen? All because of Jesus. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. Says something here I want you to make a note of. And John wrote here in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 3, he said, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. You know what? Our fellowship today is in Christ alone. Hey, listen, it's not the fact that we're a Baptist or whatever else you may be. You know what? It's all through Christ. Christ is where our fellowship comes from. And God has provided for you and me who know Him as our own personal Savior. He has provided for us the perfect plan for our redemption. He provided the perfect plan for our redemption from sin, over sin, and to be victorious in this life. And what Paul is trying to help us to see in these lessons is that he said, after we heard the word of God, the word of truth, and after we chose to accept that truth and make it a part of our lives and accept Christ as our Savior, he said here that we were sealed. God sealed the deal. Many of you folks have been praying for us. We can be able to try to get my dad's house finally fixed and sold and get it out of our hair. We were supposed to have closed last Wednesday. Then they changed it to Friday. Now they've changed it again to this coming Wednesday. And the deal has been sealed. I mean, it's done, but just trying to get all the paperwork with all the attorneys and all the new financing stuff done with a new person buying the house. But you know what? We don't have a problem like that. Nothing has been delayed through Jesus. Amen? Christ has sealed the deal. When he saved us, he gave us an inheritance. And you know what that seal of inheritance is? It's the sweet Holy Spirit of God that dwells within us. He is the one. And look what he said here. He said he is the earnest. There in verse 14. He is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. You know what? Until the Lord Jesus comes and takes us home and redeems these old vile bodies, these old bodies that we battle with and we get frustrated with, we have aches and pains and woes and miseries and sicknesses and discouragement and all kinds of things going on in these bodies. But one day, honey, it's going to be redeemed and made new. Amen? One day I won't need these glasses. Amen? I was looking for my glasses the other day and I had them on. And I still couldn't read. Oh, my soul. I was still having trouble reading. I thought, good grief. So I pulled out my phone and it's got a magnifier on it. And I pulled that baby out and it worked good. But listen, one of these days we're gonna be at home with Jesus. And we're going to have a body that doesn't ache. We're going to have a body that doesn't go through all these problems. We have an inheritance. And man, I tell you what, I can say amen right there. I look forward to that day. Right now, the Holy Spirit is that earnest, that guarantee. When I asked my wife, I told you how I gave her an engagement ring. I told her I didn't want her wearing that other little thing, and she got all upset about it. And I said, she said, but why? And I said, because I want you to wear this one instead. And when I gave her that engagement ring, buddy, she was excited because, you know what? She knew she was going to get married to the best thing that ever come around in her life. Amen. Oh, it was the earnest of her inheritance. Amen. But that little ring sealed the deal. Amen. And you know what? She still wears it today. She still wears it today. To this day, that's 40 years ago. 40 plus years ago, because we were engaged for over a year trying to get things ready for when we got married. And you know what? It's the earnest of her inheritance. Listen, you and I today have an earnest, a guarantee that everything is going to be all right. We need to just keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, do we get discouraged? Yeah. Do we get tempted to turn away from the Lord and turn back to the things of this old world? Yes, we do. Listen, do we get to the point where we say, Lord, is it really worth what I'm going through today? Let me tell you something. When we get home and we're at home with Jesus, we're going to fully understand, yes, it was worth it all. Amen? It's worth it all. So I want you to look today at this lesson. We're going to begin here in Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to start in verse number 6. I want you to see something here today about why God has blessed us. Why God blessed us. Now, when I thought about this part of the lesson, starting out, and when we look at what we were before God saved us, I don't know how in the world God could ever love a wretch like me. I don't understand why he would care for somebody like me. But you know what? I'm sure glad that he did. And I'm glad that he cared for us. And when I was thinking about this part of the lesson, starting out the lesson today, I was reminded of a passage of Scripture in the Old Testament. And I want you to just put your finger there in Ephesians, but I want you to turn back to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy just a moment. Jesus quoted many times while he was here on earth out of the Old Testament Scriptures, but one of the great chapters that he quoted out of, one of the great books he quoted out of, was the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 7. I want you to follow along with me when I read this to you today. Moses is talking to the children of Israel before they go into the promised land. Okay? And he said this. He said, When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land verse 1, chapter 7, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and shalt utterly destroy them. And thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. Why? Look at the next verse. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. Why did God want them doing all this? Look what he said. He said, because thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. Listen, folks, when God saved us, he made us to be his own. He made us to be his holy people. Now, the children of Israel were God's chosen people, and they were to be the representatives of God in this world. They were to live holy lives. But, folks, you can't live holy for God while you're holding on to the things of this world. You can't do it. Listen, that would be like me hugging my wife with one arm and wanting to hold hands with some old girl from the past back there and looking at my wife and saying, I love you, honey. And she said, well, then let go old Jezebel over here, okay? Listen, you can't love both of them. And God saved us to be holy representatives for him. Now, he's telling the children of Israel, he said, thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. And then look what he said to him. He said, the Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you are more in number than any people, for you are the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you. Man, think about that. Because he loved you. And because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Man, you know what? God so chose the children of Israel because he loved them. But folks, I'm reminded of what Jesus told religious Nicodemus there in John chapter 3. Why did God send his son into this world? He sent his son, the Lord Jesus, into this world because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He did that for you and for me. He didn't choose you because you had more talent. He didn't choose you to be saved because, listen, you had more money. He chose you. He chose me. He chose the world because he loved us. And you know what? Because he first loved us, we in turn ought to also so love him. Amen? And I believe that's what God is trying to show us. And here, in the first verse in our lesson today, it tells us why God loved us. Look at what he said. Let's back up just a minute to verse number 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3. We go back as to why did God choose to save us and to bestow upon us. And last week we read in verse number 3, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. God gave us those spiritual blessings. And why did he? Now the question is, why did he? From the foundation of the earth, before the foundation of the world, why did God determine to love us and choose to adopt us to be his dear children? Why did he choose to do that, to be holy and without blame before him in love, as we read in these verses? And why did he determine beforehand to adopt us as children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will? There in verses 4 and 5. Why did he do all this? Look at verse number 6. He said, here's the why. He said, this is why I did this to you. He said, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He had made us accepted in the Beloved. Folks, God loved us. God saved us. God has done for us and blessed us with all the things He's blessed us with, so that we in turn could bring honor and praise unto Him for loving us when we did not deserve it. You think about today. If I got what I deserve for my sin today, I ought to be in hell. I ought to be burning in a lake of fire forever and forever. You say, preacher, how could you say that? Let me tell you how I can say it. Because there is one who rebelled against God and tried to exalt His throne above the God in heaven, and God cast him out and prepared a place called hell for him. That was Lucifer, Satan, the old devil, that old serpent. Okay? And you know what? In that Garden of Eden, Satan tempted Eve. And man chose to rebel, to disobey what God had told him to do. And because Adam did the same thing that Satan did, which was to rebel against God, Adam, when he chose to do that, he deserved the same payment for his sin that what Satan is going to get one day for his sin in hell. Folks, we deserve the same thing that Satan did. We deserve the same payment for our sin. But God, in His mercy and His grace and His love, He chose to love us in spite of our sin, and He saved us, and He blessed us, and He sealed us with an inheritance. And we're going to get into that in a minute. All to the praise of the glory of His grace. Amen. We need to praise Him today. We need to praise Him. But then number two, I want you to see this morning how God has blessed us. Not just why God has blessed us, but I want you to see today how God has blessed us. There are many people today that say, well, God's not blessed. He's not blessed me like He's blessed other people. Listen, folks, if you're saved today, God blessed you with the same grace He blessed me with. And He has given you the same blessings that He's given other people today. And there's no way that we can deny that. Now, we may try to rationalize and say, well, I think I can still live this way for God or do that for God and all these things, and God will still love me. God will still love you, but your life is to bring praise and honor and glory unto God. This is the temple, okay, of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. And this temple is to bring honor and glory unto God. Listen, why do we go to church on Sunday? Why do we come back on Sunday night and Wednesday night? Why do we do the things for God that we do? We do it all because we love Him. Listen, our children, when my children were growing up, I wanted them to just have a good testimony, okay? I wanted them to have a good testimony not only for the Lord, but for their mama and their daddy, especially when they spent the night or they went out to play with somebody, went off somewhere with them. I wanted them to act like they had some sense, that we hadn't just raised them as a bunch of little heathens or something, okay? And they go out and do bad things, do whatever they wanted to do, okay? They were still our children, but you know what? We wanted them to please us. We wanted them to have a good testimony of us to the praise and glory of their parents. God wants the same thing today from us. He wants us to live the same way. And why has He blessed us? Because He wants us to bring honor and glory unto Him. But how did He do it? Look at verse 7. The Bible said here, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. I want you to think about this morning. Here, the Apostle Paul begins to show those Ephesian believers there in the city of Ephesus exactly what they possessed in Christ and exactly what it means to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God. What does it mean to be redeemed? All right, let's look at it. Number one, redemption. Part number A, what is redemption? And what should it mean to be born again as a child of God? I looked up in the dictionary, Webster's online dictionary. I looked this up. And that word redeem meant to buy back, to free from all distress and harm, to release from blame or debt. Now think about this. To release from blame or debt, to free from the consequences of sin. This was in the dictionary, okay? I was getting a blessing out of the dictionary. To repair or to restore. To remove the obligation of by payment. To make good. To atone for. To exchange for something of value. Man, that was good. And that's out of a Webster's dictionary. Listen, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 reminds us that almost all things are by the law purged. And that word purged means to be cleared, okay? Cleared of all guilt, to be freed from moral or ceremonial defilement, to be cleansed, purified, sanctified. Almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission of sin. Listen, without the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, there would have been no forgiveness for your sin, for my sin. There would have been no atonement, no at-one-ment with God. Without the shedding of blood, there would have been no remission, no removal of our sin. Folks, that ought to mean something to us today. It ought to mean something. We would have never been set free from the bondage of sin that Satan kept us in had it not been for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at it. Its means is this. Look at the last part, the second part of verse 7. He said, where we read here, it said, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Now, I want you to think about something this morning. Maybe make a note of this passage. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Peter wrote and he said, for as much as ye know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. That's how we were redeemed. Titus chapter 3 says this, beginning in verse number 3. He said, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after, now think about this, but after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration, by the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Man, that's good. Folks, think about it this morning. We need to see and understand that the means of our salvation came only through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was not our works that saved us. It was not our good deeds that saved us. It was not our membership in some religious affiliation that saved us, but it was the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that saved us. Amen? That's the means of our salvation. So what does it mean? Let me show you its meaning this morning. Its meaning is simply this. Look at verse 7 again. In whom we have redemption through his blood, look at this, the forgiveness of sins. You think about that just a minute. Gone, gone, gone. My sins are gone. Amen. We still live in a robe of flesh that gets tempted to sin. But when God looks at us, He sees us covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 said this. It said that we are forgiven and cleansed from all unrighteousness. And it's through the blood of the Lord Jesus. There was only one purpose, folks, for God sending His Son into this world. It was not to give us a time of the year that we celebrate what we call Christmas and we throw out presents to one another, put up a tree and pretty lights, and forget about the God who gave us His only begotten Son. It was not so that we could celebrate a little time where we can get chocolate Easter bunnies and eat eggs that are hard-boiled and don't taste good and all this other stuff and dress up like little rabbits and Peter Bunny or whatever it is, Peter Bunny. What is it? Peter Cottontail, yeah. Hopping down the bunny trail, that's it. Yeah, yeah, hippity-hoppity, Easter's on its way. Good night. That's not what it's all about. Listen, God sent His Son that we could remember that He died for our sins. He shed His blood. He was crucified. He was buried. He arose again to give us eternal life so that we could be with Him one day. That's the meaning, the forgiveness of sins. That's what it means. Redemption's meaning is, as the psalmist David said in Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. The east will never meet the west. Never again will they come together. As far as the east is from the west, listen, it'll never come to pass. Listen to this. Redemption's meaning is as the prophet Micah. He wrote in Micah chapter 7, verse number 19. He said that God will turn again and He will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities and He will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Do you realize today there are depths that no man can travel in the depths of the sea? And so far down, God has cast our seas into the sea of forgetfulness. Nobody can ever find them again. Amen? You know what? I have never seen the back of my head. I know it's there. I feel it. I've never seen how clean or dirty my ears are behind there. I've never seen that unless I get a mirror or something, try to look at it. But you know what the prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah chapter 38, verse 17? He said, but Thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for Thou hast cast all my sins behind Thy back. He's put them behind Him. He can't see them anymore. Amen? They've been separated from us as far as the east is from the west. They put behind God's back where He can't see them. They're cast into the depths of the sea and never to be seen forever. And now I am forever forgiven for my sins. And I want to show you this. I want you to look not only at its means through the blood, the meaning, we're forgiven for everything, but I want you to look at its measures. Look at verses 7 through 10 in Ephesians here. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. He said, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace. Let me ask you something. Can God's riches ever run out? Good night. They talk about these stars they see with the Hubble spacecraft, the Hubble Space Telescope. And they see all the stars out there, and they say it just goes on forever. And think about this. It goes on forever, and that's just God's front yard. We ain't even got to heaven yet. Man, that's just His front yard. We've been saved according to His riches in His grace. And look what else it said. Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. What does that mean, preacher? It means that whatever wisdom you need to live for Him, He has it abundantly to give unto you. All you've got to be willing to do is to ask for it. You need to seek His wisdom. You need to pray and ask Him for it. Look at this. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will. What is the will of God? The will of God is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Look what he said. According to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation, the time of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Listen, folks, the boundaries of God's forgiveness of our sin is boundless. From the uttermost to the guttermost, man, he loved us all. He gave himself for all. I think about that song that says, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. That guilty pair, bowed down with care, God gave his son to win. His erring child, he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Man, the love of God is boundless. And look at verse number 9. God not only provided this plan before the foundation of the world, but God demonstrated his great plan, and he put it into action. Look at what he said in verses 8 and 9. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Again, what is God's will? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. God's will is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. Why is that? Because God so loved the world, and that included you, and that included me. Praise God for that. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. Look at what he said. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, those loved ones that have gone on before us, and those that are on earth, that's you and me still here. We're even in him today. Amen. What a blessing to know. Thank God. But then we see in verses 11 through 14, we see the inheritance. Look at this. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined or predetermined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Listen, folks, there is an inheritance now through Christ Jesus, both for the Jews and for the Gentiles. The Jews had rejected what God said do. They rejected the Gentiles. They saw us as just dogs as far as they were concerned, because they saw themselves as the chosen children of God. But yet they crucified the Savior. But now here in verses 11 and 12, Paul speaks to those Jewish brethren. And he says unto them, he said, listen, God had a plan of inheritance for you. Look at it. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. And he said in here that we, the Jews, should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. They were the ones that God came to, God sent his son to. They were to take the message to all the rest of the world. But they rejected that opportunity. They turned it aside. And God turned unto the Gentiles. And look what he said in verses 13 and 14. He said here that he speaks to those Gentile believers in Ephesus. And he said, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. I thought as I was looking through the obituaries this past week in Winston-Salem, my sister's husband's father passed away this past week on Tuesday. And I was just looking at the obituaries out of one funeral home. And I only went back in that one funeral home, Hayworth Miller, through the month of May, I believe it was. And there were 13 people that I knew that had passed away. Some of them I went to school with my age. They died. There were some there that came up after us in their 30s that died. Cancer, car accidents, COVID. Okay? They died of COVID. I had 13 people that I knew from that one funeral home in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And as I looked at that, I thought to myself, thank God that one day I heard the word of truth. Amen. A bus captain came by my house and brought that bus to my house, brought me to church. And as a boy, I got to hear the truth of the gospel. And I got saved. Listen, the word of God came to reality in my life when I heard. How can I know to be saved unless I can first hear the word of God? And folks, that's what makes the word of God so important in our world today. You and I, God has saved us for a purpose. What is that purpose? It's to tell others so that others may know. Unto the praise of His glory. The seal of the Holy Spirit of God has guaranteed us an inheritance with Him in heaven. But until we're there with Him, we're to bring honor and praise and glory unto Him in all that we do for Him. Now my question is, are we doing that today? Are we living for Him the way that we should? Listen, if you're not, start living for Him today. Listen, if you've never been saved and you've never yet trusted Christ as your Savior, today you need to do that. You need to call on Him today and accept Him as your own personal Savior. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, I love You today. And God, how I thank You for the opportunity to live for You and to bring honor and glory unto Your name. And Lord, I want to do exactly that. And Lord, I pray that today You'll take this lesson, speak to the hearts of Your people today, that we might live to the praise of Your glory, not our own. And Lord, we might bring You the glory and praise and honor that You deserve for all You've blessed us with. We have a guaranteed inheritance. And Lord, I can't wait to be there with You one day. But until that day, help us, God, to be found faithful to live for You and serve You and give You our very best. And Lord, if there be someone listening to the sound of my voice today that's never been saved, I pray, God, that You'll bring them to the knowledge of the need that they have in their life to be saved. Help them, dear God, today to call upon You and accept You as their own personal Savior. And Lord, we'll thank You for what You do. We love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being in Sunday school today. We love you. See you in just a few moments.